And now for our daily laugh. But there's nothing so good for the soul as a hearty laugh. Everybody laugh. Ha 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 ha.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We present the nationally syndicated columnist Ned Dullivan and his Most of the Town.
Gentlemen, we really have a great show lined up for you tonight. I'm sure you're going to. You know, when I was in England a few years back, I saw a sensational act in a music hall, and I asked him if he ever came to this country to look. So here now is the great Zasloff, an outstanding concert artist. So let's really hear it for him out there. And now we have a special treat for the youngsters, because here, coming up on our stage, one of the great baseball figures of all time. So let's really hear it for him out there, the great Righty Goober.
Hello, Ned.
Righty, you're a famous Northpaw.
That's right, Ned.
I'm sure the youngsters of Wood, the amazing way you, the bat and grip.
Sure thing, Ned. In other words, you want me to...
Take this bat and share with us the famous grip.
Okie dokie.
Hi-ya!
Ooh, I hit him in the head. Did I harm you, Ned?
No. Just a flesh wound, and I... Quite a treat for the youngsters. Well, you know, when I was in England a few years back, I saw a sensational act in a music hall. I asked them if they ever came to this country to look. So here now is the world's fastest precision drill team. And the name of these remarkable fellows is... Oh, here it is. The world's fastest precision drill team... So let's really hear it for them out there. Now to conclude our show this evening, I know you've all seen and enjoyed our performing seals from time to time, but we have now being prodded out onto our stage one of the world's few trombone-playing whales, the great Blubber Lips. Trombone, but you've just heard the last of the red-hot mammals. Now, Blubber Lips, would you open your mouth for the television audience? Here, going inside, we have another first for our show, and... We're a little late, so that concludes our show.
Quick! Quality, value, style, service, selection, convenience, economy, savings, performance, experience, hospitality, low rates, friendly service, name brands, easy terms, affordable prices, money-back guarantee, free installation. Free admission, free appraisal, free alterations, free delivery, free estimates, free home trial, and free parking. No cash, no problem. No kidding. No fuss, no muss, no risk, no obligation, no red tape, no hidden charges, no down payment, no entry fee, no purchase necessary, no one will call on you, no payments or interest till December, and no parking. Limited time only, though, so act now, order today, send no money, offer good while supplies last, two to a customer, each item sold separately, batteries not included, mileage may vary. All sales are final, allow 6 weeks for delivery, some items not available, some assembly required, some restrictions may apply. Shop by mail, order by phone, try it in your home, get one for your car. All entries become our property, employees not eligible, entry fees not refundable, local restrictions apply, void where prohibited, except in Indiana. So come on in for a free demonstration and a free consultation with our friendly professional staff. Our courteous and knowledgeable sales representatives will help you make a selection that's just right for you and just right for your budget. And say, don't forget to pick up your free gift. A classic deluxe custom designer luxury prestige high quality premium select gourmet pocket flashlight. And if you act now, we'll include an extra added free complimentary bonus gift, a classic deluxe custom designer luxury prestige high quality premium select gourmet leather style wallet with detachable keychain and a pencil holder. It's our way of saying thank you. And if you're not completely satisfied, you pay nothing, simply return the unused portion for a full refund, no questions asked. It's our way of saying thank you. Keep your free gift. Actually, it's our way of saying, bend over just a little further and let us stick this big dick into your ass a little bit deeper. Well, you know, whenever you're exposed to advertising in this country, you realize all over again that America's leading industry is still the manufacture, distribution, packaging, and marketing of bullshit. High-quality bullshit. World-class designer bullshit, to be sure. Hospital-tested, clinically proven bullshit. But bullshit nonetheless. And it always amuses me that so many people seem to think that bullshit only comes from certain sources. You know, advertising, politicians, salesmen. Not true. Bullshit is everywhere. Bullshit is rampant. Parents are full of shit. Teachers are full of shit. Clergymen are full of shit. Law enforcement people are full of shit. The entire country is completely full of shit. In fact, this country was founded by a group of slave owners who told us that all men are created equal. That is what's known as being stunningly, stunningly full of shit. And you know, I think... And I think people show their ignorance when they say they want politicians to be honest. What are these people talking about? If honesty were suddenly introduced into politics, it would throw everything off. The whole system would collapse. And I think deep down the American people know that. The American people like their bullshit out front, where they can get a good strong whiff of it. That's why they reelected Clinton. Listen. Clinton might be full of shit, but he lets you know it. Dole tried to hide it. I'm an honest man. Bullshit. Bullshit. People don't believe that shit. Clinton said, "Hi, I'm full of shit, and how do you like that?" And the people said, "At least he's honest. At least he's honest about being full of shit." It's like the business world. All businessmen are completely full of shit. Just the worst kind of people you could ever want to run into. Businessmen. And the proof of it is, they don't even trust each other.
They don't trust each other. When a businessman is negotiating a deal, the first thing he does is to automatically assume that the other guy is a complete lying prick who's trying to fuck him on the deal. So he has to do everything he can to fuck the other guy a little bit harder and a little bit faster. And then, when it comes to dealing with customers, that's when you get the big smile. That's when you get the big smile. Businessman always has that big smile on his face as he carefully positions himself directly behind the customer and unzips his pants and services the account. We specialize in customer service. You heard that? Now you know what it means. Whoever coined the phrase, let the buyer beware, was probably bleeding from the asshole. Then you have advertising. Advertising is the businessman's cheaply dressed $2 blowjob. Advertising sells you things you don't need and can't afford that are overpriced and don't work. And they do it by exploiting your fears and insecurities. And if you don't have any, they'll be glad to give you a few by showing you a nice picture of a woman with big tits. That's the essence of advertising. Big tits. Threateningly big tits. And speaking of big tits, what about show business? Show business, completely dishonest, corrupt, and full of shit, but in a nice way. Plenty of expensive drugs and perverted sex. If you're going to be full of shit, might as well enjoy your work. Then you have the media. Not just the news media, let's include them all. The media are almost literally exploding with bullshit because they're located right at the crossroads of all the other bullshit. The media are made up of equal parts advertising, politics, business, public relations, and show business. These people are sitting right at Bullshit Junction. There's enough bullshit in the media for Texas to open a branch office. And you still have enough left over to start 2 law firms and a Christian bookstore. Because, folks, I gotta tell you, when it comes to bullshit, truly major league bullshit, you have to stand back in awe of the all-time heavyweight champion of false promises and exaggerated claims, religion. Organized religion. It's no contest. Religion easily has the best bullshit story of all time. Think about it. Religion has convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky who watches everything you do every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a list of 10 specific things he doesn't want you to do. And if you do any of these things, he will send you to a special place of burning and fire and smoke and torture and anguish for you to live forever and suffer and burn and scream until the end of time. But he loves you. He loves you. He loves you, and he needs money. He always needs money. He's all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing, and all-wise. Just can't handle money. Religion takes in billions and billions of dollars. They pay no taxes, and somehow they always need money. You talk about a good bullshit story. If I may be permitted a small pun, holy shit! Holy shit!
When I was a boy in Youngstown, the voices of the poets cried quick. They do not cry today. When I was a boy, the voices of the poets cried loud, cried truth. They do not cry no more.
Today there is no more but the echo, the wild throng of wild crowds with their poo-poo-padoo and Rudy too. Do you wear a tattoo? Do you see the USA in your Chevrolet and see those voices alive in images, no longer echoes, but begging, crying for something more than the slogan of an artless age?
You did it, you son of a gun in your gray flannel suit. You drowned the poets, the flannel in the mouth choking the voice of the silver bird that cries no more. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. You get a lot to like in the Marlboro.
Smoke cools,
and Roto-Rooter Sewer Service, Roto-Rooter Sewer Service, drowning the voice of those no longer here.
Delcy is lanolin soft, and in that softness sinks the weight of the world, crushed beneath endless scotch and sodas, crushed beneath Pernod, crushed beneath gin and tonic, crushed, crushed like a little dead brown field muse.
Where are they now? Where is Emily Dickinson, Sarah Teasdale?
Where is Robert Frost, Edgar Guest, that whole crowd?
Where are they now? You did it, you son of a gun. You did it, and they are gone. And the song ends. And the song ends.
My cambit in my camping, or the way the Amis song Zettel, Brother Thomas was me. I have my voriges Jahr a Zeit gekauft, da war auf meinem Prospekt standen für zwei Erwachsene und vier Kinder. Dann haben wir es daheim probiert, haben wir gemerkt, das muss ein Druckfehler gewesen sein. Das hätte heißen sollen für zwei Erwachsene oder vier Kinder. Mir war das was. Meine Anastasia und ich, gell, wir haben die Kinder in die Ecken reingeschlicht. Und am Eingang haben wir unsere Fesen ausgehalten. Es war besser so wie ich der Entlüftung. Es sah fast nichts passieren. Bloß einmal haben wir Psuffner in die Zehe gebissen. Der Mann, der ist ein Limburger. Am anderen Fräse sind wir noch an die Grenze gekommen. Hab ich gesagt, siehst du das da? Alles ist da. Du bist da. Ich bin da. Die Kinder sind da. Das Zelt ist da. Die ganze Kicheneinrichtung ist da. Jetzt braucht man bloß nur das Kichenbuffet. Sagt sie, was willst du da mit dem Kichenbuffet? Hab ich gesagt, naja, weil da die Reise best drauf liegen. Ja, weil ich. Die haben uns aber trotzdem nie begleitet. Die haben gemeint, wir wandern aus. Da sind wir an den Gardasee gefahren, da haben wir mit 500 anderen Zeltbewohnern zwischen zwei Olivenbäumen nur ruhiges Plätzle erwischt. Sieh, da war es schön. Das Wasser, die Luft und die Schnogen. Zum Glück haben wir ein Fläschle Insektenwasser dabei gehabt. Das haben wir noch abends gesoffen. Aber nicht einmal das hat mir geholfen. Am anderen früh um 6 Uhr, mitten in der Hitze, hat sie mich vorgeschickt zum Einkaufen. Weil ich heimgekommen bin, war eine stugfinstere Nacht. Sie hat aufgepackt, weil ich hab gar nichts mehr getrunken können. Die ganzen Hände habe ich voll gehabt. Makroni, Spaghetti, Tomate, Olive, Potagi und einen kleinen Affen habe ich dabei gehabt. Gell? Ja, wirklich. Ich hätte nur 3 Liter Wein mitbringen sollen, aber die habe ich nicht mehr getrunken können. Und man denkt, ist doch wurscht, ob du es in den Händen oder im Bauch trägst. Wenn du es nicht bringst. Sie und die habe ich gebracht. Wenn ich an den Seen untergekommen bin, ein Seegang war da, sage ich Ihnen. Ich habe sogar ich an Land gemerkt. Dann habe ich mein Zelt nicht mehr gefunden. Dann habe ich meinen ganzen Krempel mitten in den Weg rein. Dann bin ich ins nächstbeste Zelt rein. Stugfinster war es. Dann habe ich das Tasten angefangen. Habe ich noch gleich gemerkt, dass das meine alte Nicht sein kann, gell, so bitte. Das spürt man ja. War was viel Jüngeres. Die hat noch gesagt, aber Gustav. Bin ich gleich wieder hinter die Schnauze.
Hi, you Flippo. You say your wife's fixing her hair in the mirror, you kiss her on the neck and find out it's Michael Bolton. And there was a major upset at the Grammys. One of his backup dancers beat out Hammer. And you're up in the top row at Wembley Stadium to see Bruce Springsteen and you get attacked by a wild hawk. And Grandpa's in the hospital again. He tried to make a citizen's arrest of Mick Jagger. And the Grateful Dead have a new hit, L'Chaim. And Barbara Walters asked Axl Rose what kind of tree he thought he was. And he swooped down on her and screamed, Banzai! Visiting hours are from 9 to 6. Is that what's got you down in the dumps today, homeboy? Well, don't hold the mic too close. You may swallow it. Dip your head down low and take a wallow in the mud on Hunkers. New video. Lip Syncer narrates Peter and the Wolf. Skinny Ennis is Fats Domino. And remember, he who plays Nola on the nose flute with a heavy cold drowns. Hey there, wild man. You see, Universal went broke. They sunk $300 million into the life of Emil Zola, starring Vanilla Ice. And the girls turned on Robert Palmer. Now he comes out with 6 big Barbie dolls. And they ask Willie Nelson if he wants to go into space. And he says he's already been there. And you got involved in a nasty incident at the drag queen's ball. You started to sing for She's a Jolly Good Fellow and they stomped you. And you won 14 Grammys and you can't get arrested. And you go to a fiddle festival and get a stray bow up your nose. And Aunt Hester got bounced out of the Radio City Music Hall. Liza Minnelli kept on saying, I adore you all, darlings, and she yelled out, bullshit. Does all this seem to bring back the old twitch, music lover? Well, lift your head up high and glum the see-through brain. You say you got bombed on 9th Avenue and had Hubba Hubba tattooed on your forehead? Why not? These salad days come but once. Videos that may have a chance. An evening with Rudolph Hess. Boy George is Sophie Tucker. Remember, she who goes up a down escalator winds up a foot shorter. Hiya, Metalhead. You say you open up a fortune cookie and out jumps Prince? And someone slips you a couple of freebies for the Beastie Boys in an homage to Carmen Lombardo? And your roommate called up to bail him out? He tried to make a right in the car that's sticking out of the Hard Rock Cafe? And 500,000 people show up at the Sheep Meadow for Simon and Garfunkel, and you have to hire a helicopter to get home? And you can't get your Walkman out of your ears, and the volume's stuck on the U.S. Marine Band playing Lady of Spain, I Adore You? And Michael Jackson suing Jose Canseco for stealing his crotch action? Is that what's got you mumbling, "What's it all about, Cindy?" on the bus, Flippo? Well, lift your head up high with that dignity and perspicacity and shades. You'll show your wife's sister the latest about Lily Tomlin. Wants to play the life of Joe Cocker. Says it's a challenge. You say you take your girl on the buggy ride through the zoo and your horse comes on strong with a zebra? That's nature's way. Videos that catch the imagination. New Year's Eve at Wendy's with Wayne Newton. Sinead O'Connor as the young Mussolini. Remember, there's only one New York, and that's Indianapolis.
Ham sandwich, bucket and water plastic Duralex, rubber McFisheries underwear. Plug rapid emulsion, sick custard without sustenance in Kipling Duff geriatric scenery. Maximizes press insulating devilment, grunting sapphire clubs incidentally. But tonight, Sampan Bombay Bermuda in diphtheria, rustic McAlpine splendor, rabbit and fat fooey jugs, rapidly big biro rule liners, musk green gauges, micturate, with nipples and tiptoe rustling machinery, rustically inclined. Good evening and welcome.
Hello.
Foreskin, mousetrap view, Mount Everest, tin tray, lobotomy in England.
Saddleback, saddleback, lechery, billboard, kettlebum, simpering, snuff, masticated, bozard, handset, lemonade, enterprisingly apart, eyed rubber eyes, plum joint, curvaciously mucking squirrels.
I see. Rapidly piddlepot strumming, Hanover peace pudding, mouse rumpling, cuddly corridor cabinets, presumably.
Sick in a cup. Door jam whisper, tap Sunderland shower curtain, iced wallpaper cups, grouchingly rubber king rack, buttock kissing feathers. Definitely pheasantry daughter, successfully douche dinner bottom.
Machine wrapped with butter?
Machine wrapped with butter.
So, nail attacking butterfly claps reputedly without, I might galvanize sugar. Elbow wrenchingly heartfelt until porcelain, perspicaciously rattled mandibles, on asinine shoestrings, drawn two, lost three, but a machismo were never cobbled therein. Good night.
Good night.
Acidly Scorpion, Jugged Earwig, Putrescent, introduced as usual by Daily Wolverhampton Side Saddle. Tonight, ham-wrenching toes, Alan McMullen, having shed good hiccoughing slipper, Rita Gong. Bluevex galvanized clout nails by Rex Whistler. But meanwhile, on Rutland Weekend Television, it's time for music.
Inflammation of the foreskin reminds me of your smile. I've had balanitis chancroids for quite a little while. I gave my heart to NSU that lovely night in June. I ache for you, my darling, and I hope you'll get well soon. My penile warts, your herpes, my syphilitic sore, your manilial infection, how I miss you more and more. Your dobies itch my scrub books, a lovely gonorrhea. At least we both were lying when we said that we were clear. Our syphilitic kisses sealed the secret of our tryst. You gave me scrotal pustule with a quick flick of your wrist. Your trichovaginitis sent shivers down my spine. I got snail tracks in my anus when your spiral came. Keats met Meyer.
Gonna talk to you right this. Strap the proper bad like this. And Ingo Meyer like this. Tip the cockle careful like this. Interstitial keratitis, syphilitic choroiditis, and anterior uveitis.
I clapped out genitalia, is not so bad for me as the complete and utter failure every time I try to pee. My doctor says my pupils are the worst he's ever seen. My scrotum's painted orange and my balls are turning green. My heart is very tender, although my parts are awful raw. You might have been infected, but you never were a bore. I'm dying from your love, my love. I'm your spirochetal clown. I've left my body to science, but I'm afraid they've turned it down.
Gonococcal urethritis, streptococcal balanitis, meningomyelitis, typical capillitis, epididymitis, interstitial keratitis, syphilitic choroiditis, and anterior uveitis.
Yes, sir?
I want to talk to someone about a problem I got with my car.
In the mechanics bay. Ask for Jim.
Jim?
You can't miss him. He's gargling.
Oh, thank you. Excuse me, Jim?
Yeah?
My car's been making some funny noises.
Where is it?
Well, it's at home. I didn't want to drive it. I was afraid to.
What kind of noises?
Well, it's kind of hard to explain. When I start it, it goes...
That sounds like the spark plugs to me.
Oh.
What happens when you rev it?
It sort of goes a...
And when you shut it off... That's called run-on.
Huh?
Well, what does it sound like if you were to take it around the block?
Well, I get in.
Well, listen, I'll get in with you, okay?
Turn the key. Your seatbelt.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, here goes. Now, I sometimes have trouble shifting into second.
Try double clutching. Hey, your windshield seems a little dirty.
I'll turn the windshield wipers on.
Sounds like you're out of wiper fluid. Hey, let's check the pickup. Pass this guy here.
I can't sustain the power.
It's your air intake. Take a deeper breath.
That's better.
Okay, okay, now turn in these lights. Well, here we are back at the station. Pull her in.
Well, what do you think? Can you fix it?
I'm pretty busy this morning. I know it's wrong. Yeah. I can fix it, but you'll have to leave your dentures in the shop overnight.
Okay.
Now, this is your Man on the Street reporter, and we're looking for interesting people to interview, and I think we might just have one right here. Excuse me, sir.
Patty.
Can we talk for just a couple of minutes?
Sure, go ahead.
Could I have your name?
Well, it's possible, but I doubt it. Your name ain't Wilbur, is it?
No, it isn't Wilbur.
No?
Your name is Wilbur?
No.
Well, then what is your name?
I don't know, but Wilbur don't ring a bell. Could be Wilbur.
Could be, huh?
Alexander or Philip or Alfred or something. If I had my wallet here, I'd whip it out and read it to you.
You lost it?
I lost a wallet in a bus wreck.
Oh, you were in a bus wreck.
Oh, I was too. Yeah, boy, I'll tell you.
What happened?
Well, I was back there in Armadillo.
Amarillo.
Was you there?
No. Amarillo is where the bus had
that's
the accident.
That's what I was trying to tell you.
Yeah, what happened?
Door, four times.
Is that right?
It was orange. All them people living there thought it was a ball of fire or something. Oh, you ought to see it.
I hope.
Whoa, boy, it was really something.
I hope nobody was injured.
Me too. Well, I just ran like heroin.
You just ran.
Huh? I just ran. I heard them praying, though.
Did you?
Yeah, it's mostly Mexicans. Yeah. I couldn't understand them.
Yeah.
Boy, I sure wanted to live. Are you on a television?
Yes, I am.
Are you wearing a wig? A toupee?
Why, does it look like it?
I never seen one, but I heard you guys wear them.
Well, I'm on television.
You're really on television.
Yeah, I don't wear
them. Hey, is that Glenn Campbell Catholic?
I have no idea. Why'd you read that somewhere?
No, I can't read.
Can you write?
No, but Trace.
Can you? Yeah. Where are you from, by the way?
Kearsarge.
Kearsarge?
Yeah, Kearsarge.
What state is that in?
You know, I haven't got the slightest idea. We never talked about stuff like that. We mostly talked about farming.
Farming?
Yeah.
You're a farmer?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I'm a farmer, yeah.
Well, do you grow much back there?
Huh?
Do you grow much back in Kearsarge?
Oh, no, not me. I haven't grown hardly at all since I was 18.
No, I didn't mean it.
Huh?
Do you grow crops back?
Oh, crops. Oh, you bet your sweet nerd we do.
My sweet what?
Never mind. Yeah, we really do grow crops.
Yeah, what do you grow?
Oh, well, we both grow... am I stuttering?
Is there a bat in my mouth?
Well, I shouldn't be smoking. Am I?
I don't think so.
What was you asking me about?
I was asking you about your crops. What do you grow?
Oh, yes. Buckwheat and radishes.
Buckwheat and radishes,
yes.
You make a pretty good living doing that, do you?
On what?
On the buckwheat?
On the buckwheat, yes.
How about
not
the
on the radishes.
Not on the radishes.
That's a loser.
Oh, is that right?
Always has been, ever since I was that high.
Oh, why do you grow
every
them?
Huh?
Why do you grow them?
Oh, you got to. You got to grow radishes.
Well, why do you have to grow them?
Well, to keep the wolverines off your land, dummy.
I don't want
your land overrun with wolverines.
Oh, you sure do. You've got wolverines on your land.
No. The radishes keep them off.
Oh, yeah.
You ever seen a wolverine?
No, I never have.
I never have either. The radishes really work.
Wait a minute.
Could you do me a favor?
I'd be glad.
Could you get my mother on Queen for a day?
Well, I don't think they're even broadcasting that anymore.
Oh, heck, they ain't. I seen it just a couple weeks ago.
That could have been a rerun.
Could you get on one of those?
Guys, you want to get it together, please? Come on, sit down. Remember how we did it in rehearsal? Come on, that's it. Go ahead, come on. All right, it did work in rehearsal, I swear. All right, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to another edition of the Bit Slap. And I was reading my newspaper this week and saw about this movie that came out with Sandra Bullock and George Clooney, and it's called Gravity, which inspired me to do today's show. It comes from weird angles, folks, let me tell you. And, of course, today we're dealing with comedy, the opposite of gravity. And we started with The Daily Laugh, that came off of some old Three Stooges thing. That was the king commanding his subjects to laugh, and hope you were able to join them. After that, we heard from Stan Freberg and his crew, the worst of the town, best of the town, followed by George Carlin. I think that was probably from one of his HBO stand-up things. That was about advertising and bullshit. Certainly enough of both to go around, and they are not mutually exclusive. Everybody's doing it now. Speaking of bullshit, that was Nichols and May, Mike Nichols and Elaine May. I still think Elaine May has the sexiest voice in all of show business ever. I'm sorry. Dirk Hempler was Herbert Heisel. I have no idea what the hell he was talking about, but it sounded funny enough, so I thought I'd include it today. Eddie Lawrence, and that was the cool philosopher from, as far as I know, his latest, and I hesitate to say last, because Eddie's still with us. Something on, I forget, Dragon Records or something like that, CD I picked up years ago. Gibberish, from Eric Idle and Neil Innes off of the Rutland television record, followed by Monty Python themselves and the Medical Love Song. We heard the Frantics from Canada, and that was Car Noises. And then we brought up rear with Hudson and Landry, those two wacko DJs from Detroit, and that was Kearsarge. All right, so let's get back to work here. Got more laughing to do.
Hello?
Hey, man, listen very carefully, man. Don't answer the phone, man. You got that? Don't answer the phone. Even if it's me calling, man, don't answer because I think the phone is bugged, man. Okay? Okay? Hello?
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 Hey, man, what the hell?
Pedro?
Yeah,
is that you, man?
No, it's Freddy.
Hey, man, where are you, man?
Well, I'm calling from outside, man, but listen.
Hey, you got the dope?
Hey, man, don't say nothing about
Wow, man, you better hurry up and get over here, man. Everybody thinks you ripped them off.
Hey, man, will you cool it, man?
Wow. Hey, where are you, man?
I'm outside, man.
What, did you forget the address again?
No, I don't.
Now, listen, write it down, man. Okay?
I'm listening on the own thing, man.
1482. Adams, you got it? Okay. Hey, right behind John's van is parked in front. You can't miss it, man. Okay? Hey, did you get the pills too, man? Hello? Hey, man, I gotta hang up. There's someone pounding at the door.
She was a right bird, wasn't she?
What?
I say she was a right bird, wasn't she?
Who?
Marge.
Marge?
Yeah. You remember Marge, don't you?
No. Of
course you do. You remember the party you come to at our place, the one for my mum's golden wedding?
Well, where we set fire to her curtains?
Yeah, that's it. Well, her.
Who, your mum?
No, the bird.
What bird?
You know, the one that works at the pickle factory with our Reg.
Who?
God almighty, our Reg, the cousin of mine who come out of Boston and got engaged to the girl next door.
Oh, yeah?
Well, her.
Well, you're Reg's girl.
No, not our Reg's girl. You twit. Our Reg works with this bird. Listen, she was a sister of the bird who was with that fellow who tried to lay one on you that
oh,
night.
Oh, yeah?
Well, you remember her.
No.
You don't. You must do. You. She sang. Don't you remember she sung Anyone Who Had an Heart? And her stockings fell down.
Oh, that one, yeah, I remember her. All that black hair all up at the back.
Yeah.
And a tight green sweater.
Yeah.
A red skirt and a big shoes with a big stiletto heels on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember her.
Now, do you remember her mate?
No, I don't remember no mate.
You don't remember her mate? You must do. You remember the bird who reckoned she could drink 4 stout, 4 scotches, 4 creme de menthe and then did it?
Oh, yeah.
And you held her head down after?
Yeah.
Well,
little bit in a matador pants with a split all
down.
Yeah, was that Marge?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember her. What about her?
Well, she was a right bird, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Well.
Mr. Harris, I hope you won't be offended if I begin right away by asking you a rather personal question.
Yeah.
Tell me, To what extent are your recent actions motivated by self-interest?
Well, I do feel that...
Actions that I'm about to say have excited adverse comment in many sections of the press. Mm. Now, are you not at all worried by the storm of controversy you have unleashed?
No, I'm not. I feel that...
You're not trying to say, then, Mr. Harris, in so many words, that the hornet's nest you have stirred up is nothing more than a storm in a teacup. Well, now, if that is the case, I'm afraid you are going to find very few people who will agree with you.
My dear fellow, I'm afraid I just don't care.
The public is, Mr. Harris, I think, entitled to a more detailed explanation than you have yet given. Would you care to enlarge on it?
I was about to try to enlarge on it.
Yes.
But you won't allow me to get a word.
I have a feeling, Mr. Harris, that you're trying to sidestep the issue.
No, my dear fellow,
but
I'm not at all.
But I will drop this particular matter for the time being
and pass on to something else.
As you wish. Now, Mr. Harris... Mm-hmm. There is a rumour now gaining ground in certain circles that for a man in the centre of public affairs, your private life is not perhaps all that it should be.
Really?
Now, is there any substantial truth in this? I'm going to be quite blunt with you, and in return I expect you to be equally so. So tell me, am I not right in thinking that you are in fact a
I beg your pardon. I'm afraid I'm not...
And is it not also true that you are a lifelong member of the Communist Party?
No, I want to say right here
One moment,
now,
Mr. Harris. You've not... Ah, you, I'm, one I'm, moment now. You've
no,
not
no,
yet
I,
answered
I'm
my
not,
previous question.
I'm
I repeat
trying to.
It. Are you or are you not a practicing...
I'm sorry, my dear fellow. I must tell you right away
invasive, you know.
I'm not prepared to stand here.
Please, listen to me.
No,
I am only seeking a simple, straightforward answer to what I think you must admit is a simple and straightforward question.
I think then you must listen to me.
Look,
if I could only just try and tell you without being so... Mm.
Can we be serious for one moment? Mr. Harris, you know, the purpose of this interview is to get at the truth.
Please, just allow me to say
what
you
are saying, in effect.
I haven't said anything yet,
and everyone else is wrong.
No.
Isn't it?
No.
I mean, I suggest you are deliberately trying to withhold information rather than reveal it.
My God, I've got nothing to hide.
Yes.
On the contrary.
Thank you, Mr. Harris.
Look, I'm sorry. I've never been so insulted in my life.
Well now, Mr. Perkins, it was good of you to come in. I realize that you're a busy man, but I didn't think this matter could be discussed over the electric telephone.
No, absolutely, Headmaster. I mean, if Tommy's in some sort of trouble, then I'd like to nip it in the bud.
Well, quite frankly, Tommy is in trouble. Recently, his behavior has left a great deal to be desired.
Dear.
He seems to take no interest in school life whatsoever. He refuses to muck in on the sports field. And it's weeks since any master has received any written work from him.
Dear me.
Quite frankly, Mr. Perkins, if he wasn't dead, I'd have him expelled.
Beg your pardon?
Yes, expelled. If I wasn't making allowances for the fact that your son is dead, he'd be out on his ear.
Tommy's dead?
Yes. He's lying up there in sick bay now, stiff as a board and bright green. And this is, I fear, typical of his current attitude. You see, the boy has no sense of moderation. One moment he's flying around like a paper kite, and the next moment he's completely immovable. And beginning to smell.
How did he die?
Well, is that important?
Well, yes, I think so.
Well, it's all got to do with the library, you see. We've had a lot of trouble recently with boys taking out library books without library cards. Your son was caught, and I administered a beating during which he died. But you'll be glad to know... You'll be glad to know that the ringleader was caught, so I don't think we'll be having any more trouble with library discipline. You see, the library card system...
You beat my son to death?
Yes, so it would seem. Please, I'm not used to being interrupted. You see, the library card system was introduced...
Well, exactly, what happened?
Well, apparently boys were just slipping in the library and taking the books.
No, during the beating.
Oh, that... Well, one moment he was bending over, the next moment he was lying down. I mean,
Dead?
Deadish. Mr. Perkins, I find this morbid fascination of yours with your son's death quite disturbing. What I'm talking about is his attitude. And quite frankly, I can see where he gets it from. Well, it wasn't me that beat him to death. Well, that was perfectly obvious to me from the first day he arrived here. I wondered then, as I wonder now, if he might not have turned out to be a very different boy indeed if you had administered a few fatal beatings early on. Are you mad? I'm furious. In order to accommodate the funeral, I've had to cancel afternoon school on Wednesday.
This is preposterous.
Yes, it is. Or at least it would be, if it were true. What? I've been joking, Mr. Perkins. Pardon me, it's my strange academic sense of humor. I've been pulling your leg.
Oh, thank God.
I wouldn't cancel afternoon school to bury that little shit.
Good morning, Mrs. Kennedy. Good morning, Mr. President. Thank you. I will have some coffee. One moment. Thank you. This coffee is delicious, Mrs. Kennedy. What's your secret? Money. It's hard to believe that I'm sitting here having breakfast with the President of the United States and his First Lady. When I told my mother I was going to the White House, she thought I was going out for hamburgers. Well, none of business. How'd you like the show last night? Good, good. What'd you think of the comedian? Funny kid, right? Everybody loved him? Who booed him? Why? He told the Vice President to forget the Alamo? You know, Mr. President, maybe the kid is right. I mean, how long can a grown man carry a hurt like this around? Year after year, burning up his inside. I mean, when the comic said to forget the Alamo, he didn't mean forget it. He meant forget it! Enough already with the Alamo! Okay, I'll make a note of it. To all comics, remember the Alamo. Aside from that, how did the girl dancer do? Great, tops and taps, eh? I beg your pardon, Mrs. Kennedy? What do your curtains have to do with the girl dance? Well, Mrs. Kennedy, if you pardon my saying so, I think you're being a little unfair, because by the same token, the girl dancer could claim that your curtains clashed with her costume. Well, if she hung from the curtains, that's different. Okay, I'll make a note of it. No more girl dancers to hang from curtains. But I want to say this, that girl did great at grossing us. I never said the White House was another grossinger. But getting back to the show, how did Georgie Jessel come out? With $2 million for Israel. That was very sweet of your father. Yes, thank you. I will have more coffee. Good. 43 beans. Oh, by the way, Mr. President, I got your memo about the magician, and there was a very good reason why he didn't do too well. It wasn't the magician's fault. You see, when the Secret Service men searched him, they broke his eggs. And that's his biggest trick. Not only did it cost the poor guy $4.25 to clean his tuxedo, but those eggs darn near drowned his rabbit. Now, I'd like you to bring him back next week because I know he'll do great for you, but this time, would you let him use your eggs? Wonderful. Thanks. And I'm not even going to ask you how the singer did because I know he was sensational. Who didn't like him? Why? What bad taste. You tell Dean Rusk I don't care for his Secretary of State. The Cuban love song was around before Castro. Oh, speaking of Cuba, how'd you like Xavier Cugat? Hail to the chief, cha-cha-cha. Oh, that's a gas, Mr. Friend. Okay, I'll make a note of it. Oh, while I think of it, Mr. President, about the affair for next Saturday night, the big affair, the Harvard alumni dance, as per your instructions, is going to be class, strictly class. To start with, I got a great quartet. They've been rehearsing one song all week. It's a surprise just for you. You ready? The Whiff and Poof song. Yale? Since when? Thank you, Mrs. Kennedy. I will have more coffee. And, Mrs. Kennedy, you requested a singer that sings the classics? I got him. This boy does all the classics. I mean, the real highbrow stuff for the intelligentsia, like Our Sweet Mystery of Life and Indian Love Call and Night and Day. And, Mrs. Kennedy, you're pouring coffee on my lap. No, that's all right. It'll come out. Man, that's coffee. Mr. President, I got a problem. I'm having trouble finding the right type of comedian for this affair. I know you want a real classy comedian who talks well and he dresses well and never. Who'd you get? I didn't know he did that. Won't that interfere with his work at the UN? No kidding. What imitations does he do? Hammershaw, Khrushchev, and Nero. What's so funny about them? Yes, I will have some cream, thank you. I mean, I could understand if he did the real classy imitations like Jimmy Cagney and Peter Lorre and Edward G. Robinson and Mr. Kennedy are pouring cream on my lap. No, my pants don't take sugar, thank you. That's it. Well, time to run. Okay, next time it's on me.
Morning. Surprised? Well, I thought I'd get up and see exactly what it is you do in the morning. What do you got there? A little toast? You know, someday you should get me up so I can have breakfast with you. No. Well, as long as you're up, sure. I'll take a couple of waffles, some eggs over easy, maybe a couple of hash browns. And boy, I haven't had fresh squeezed orange juice in a long time. Hey, listen. I just wanted to apologize for last night, you know, falling asleep on you. You know, if you weren't a special gal, I'd have had to get up this morning and make up some sort of an excuse. But not with you. Hey, this is good. You do your face right here at the table? Well, it's just I found an eyelash in the egg. No, don't worry about it. I just won't eat it. Hey, look at the calendar. Pretty special day for us today, huh? Poker night here at the house. You know, sometimes I look at you and I just swell. Because I know you're the kind of gal that loves to make sandwiches for her guy and his pals. Hey, listen. You think you could pick up some brewskis on your way home from work tonight? My gal's got to work late. Listen, don't worry about it. I'll just get them delivered. Hey, what are you doing there? You know garbage is a man's job. I'll get it this weekend. Oops, pop the button. Boy, am I lucky. I've got an old-fashioned gal, and she's going to sew it on right now for me, right? You are something. Wow, that was fast. You know, I was just thinking how lucky I really am. You know, being a free spirit, I just never thought I'd find somebody that could appreciate it the way that a free spirit needs to be appreciated. And here you are. Hey, listen, you got a 10 spot so I can pick up some brewskis for this afternoon for myself? Nah, don't worry about it. I'm sure there's a couple in the back of the fridge. Oops. Hey, I'll get that purse. Hey. That's how much you net in a week? Boy, you know, a guy could really learn to respect that kind of dough. Hey, stop it. You don't have to apologize for your friends calling me a sponge. It's their loss if they don't understand a real 80s kind of relationship. Because we both know we've got something that's pretty special. Yeah, it comes from the inside, and that's... Hey, careful. You're blocking Tom and Jerry. Yeah, it comes from the inside, and that's what's important. Right. Yeah, you better get going. Don't want you to be late. Of course you're going to miss me. Hey, you think you can grab the garbage on your way out? Atta girl.
Hi, Mike. Monty. What are you doing in your sandbox?
Playing with my mom's sewing machine, Ralph.
Hey, Monty, want to see what I just learned to do? I can crack my knuckles. Watch. Gross, eh, Monty?
Wow. I bet I can be grosser than you, Ralph.
Cannot, Monty.
Can too, Ralph.
Cannot, Monty.
Yeah, I bet you this chocolate bar I can.
What kind of chocolate bar is it?
It's a kind of Sandy Mars bar.
It's a bet. Whoever can do the grossest thing wins the chocolate bar.
Hi, Monty. Hi, Ralph.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
You can judge our gross contest we're having.
Hey, Jennifer, okay. Watch yes. This. I can roll my eyes right back into my head.
My mom says your eyes will get stuck back there staring at your brain forever.
Will not.
Never mind, watch. I'm double jointed. I can bend my thumb right back.
Ooh, yuck.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm even more double jointed, Jennifer.
Yeah?
I can bend my whole hand right back.
Oh, yeah?
Ooh. Oh! That's gross.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm the grossest in the whole gross world because I can dislocate my hip. Watch.
Oh, Ralph! Yeah!
Neat, eh?
Wow, neat.
Yeah.
Your leg is just hanging there.
I know.
Oh, gross me out.
The wind can blow it.
Hey.
Bet I can be grosser. Bet I can be grosser, Jennifer. I can stick my tongue out up to my forehead so my tonsils go up my nose.
Oh, I don't want to watch.
But you can.
I don't want to watch.
Yeah, watch.
Don't. Oh, gross.
I guess I keep the chocolate bar, eh, Ralph?
No way, Monty. I can be even grosser.
Oh, no, don't do it. I don't want to see it.
I can too.
You cannot.
Can too.
Cannot.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, then what can you do, huh, eh? Huh?
Okay, I can turn my entire body inside out. Watch. Watch this. Give my hand a push.
Barfola, that's the grossest.
You in the chocolate bar, Ralph. I'll just put it right here in your stomach for you.
Wait. Don't give it to him. Turn back right side out, Ralph.
What? Okay.
Turn back right side out.
There.
I can be grosser.
Yeah, what can you do, huh?
I can be grossest, the grossest
bet
of
can.
All.
Bet I know what you can be grosser.
Yes, I can, yes, okay, I can.
Okay, what?
I can kiss you.
Ew!
And I can be your girlfriend.
Good evening. My name is Roger DeSwans. And tonight, brought to you live from the stage of the Royal Stratford National Shakespeare Festival Company.
Here's knocking indeed. If a man were porter of Hellgate, he should have grown old, turned in the key. Knock, knock, knock. Who's there in the name of Beelzebub?
Hamlet.
Hamlet who?
Hamlet, Piglet's father. Let me in.
Knock, knock.
Who stands without?
Ophelia.
Ophelia who?
Ophelia, your own crotch for a change, you creep.
Knock, knock, knock.
Who beats his knuckled fist upon the gate?
Macbeth.
Macbeth who?
Macbeth, friends, winner, tell me.
Knock, knock.
Who stands there? Speak.
Romeo.
Aha! Perchance thou wouldst in jest propose to row me over in the clover. Ha ha, fie.
Knock, 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 knock.
Who thrusts his hand to gate so rhythmically?
Othello.
Othello? The dusky Moor?
No, Othello, who could use a knife dry sack on the rocks with a twist, please.
Knock, knock. Oh, protect me from another saucy wit. Who's there?
Caesar.
Caesar? But Caesar who?
Caesar and the Caesar and the pleaser. The Caesar.
Now it's time for Mr. Trace. Keener than most persons. In the case he calls the Stolen False Teeth Murder Clue. The scene is in Mr. Trace's private office as he calls for his assistant, Spike Delancey.
Here. Yes, boss, did you call?
Yes, Spike. I've been having trouble, as you probably have been able to see.
Saints preserve us, boss. Your smile is different.
Someone, Spike, has stolen my prosthetic appliance.
You don't say, boss, that you're without your teeth.
That's exactly what I say, Spike.
Well, who would want your teeth, boss?
I don't know who could pull a dastardly trick like this.
Where did you last see them, boss?
Well, I had lunch at the lunch counter downstairs. Then I came up to the office, and what, a half hour later, I noticed that they were missing.
Saints preserve us, boss.
There's only one clue, Spike.
Yes, sir.
This set of fingerprints on the edge of my desk.
Saints preserve us, boss. Fingerprints on the edge of your desk.
Yes, I want you to run through our file and see if you can place them with any of the criminals we've dealt with in the past.
All right, boss, I'll be right back. Just as soon as I check through the file, see if I can match up those, boss.
That's what I want you to do, Spike. If I could only find those, I could get back to my job of crime detecting. Oh, any luck, Spike?
Turn around, pally, you say, Spike.
Who are you? What do you want here? You, lurking there behind the gray curtains covering my window.
What?
You, with the dagger in your hand.
You look so insipid the way you talk.
Insipid, you say?
Yes. You don't look like the old Mr. Keenly, who's tracer than most persons.
I'm as traced as any lost person.
You're a person, and I'll be people if you're going to trace around here, lost.
I certainly think you're barking up the wrong tree.
Just a moment, people. I've traced you long enough. From now on, I'm keen. Keen to it all. You've lost to that, people?
Yes, I'll curse along with you on that. But wait until my assistant, Spike Delancey, gets back.
He ain't coming back.
You mean?
He's keened, people. Lost.
I'm treated. At last. Today we heard part one of a two-part story from the files of Mr. Trace, keener than most persons. The case he calls the Stolen False Teeth Murder Clue.
Time once again for Strange But False.
October 3rd, 1947, Walter Dobbs of Mayfair, Arkansas, went fishing. His boat struck a submerged rock and he drowned. 15 years later, to the day, his only son, Harold, was fishing in the same lake, where he caught a 10-pound bass. fish was wearing his father's necktie. Strange, but false. It never happened, but it might have.
If you have a story that is strange but false, send it to us, along with certifiable documentation proving that you are an absolute liar, and we'll send you $10,000 cash. Well, no, we won't. But we might.
Well, hopefully you're not suffering too much from a split side and aching laugh muscles. Really, I don't think it was all that funny, but, you know, we do what we can here. We started that set with, of course, Cheech and Chong, Don't Answer the Phone, and, of course, mayhem ensues. Two things from Peter Sellers. Peter Sellers had quite an interesting, you know, recording career besides his movie career. A couple of years ago, I picked up a four-disc box set of it, and this is from it. That was two things that we heard, A Right Bird and Face to Face. Reminded me of Fox News. I thought you'd get a kick out of that. The Fatal Beating was Rowan Atkinson featuring Angus Deighton. A routine that has been done to everyone's satisfaction for a long time. Breakfast at the White House, a guy named Charlie Manna. Whatever happened to Charlie Manna? I don't know. But pretty good stuff, pretty good stuff. I have a couple albums, and they're pretty good. Joe the Love Potato has Breakfast, and that was Duck Logic. Don't know anything about them either. I don't think anybody cares, but you should. You should. And then we hear from the Frantics again, the Gross Out Contest, followed by the National Lampoon, the Radio Hour people, and Knock Knock, the Shakespearean Knock Knock. Mr. Trace, Keener Than Most Persons, from Bob and Ray. And Travis D. Limited bringing up the rear, Strange but False. And that brings us to the end of our little experiment here. Hope you enjoyed it. If not, something will be back next week. We'll try to take things a little less seriously next week, okay? In the meantime, you have a good week. It's October. We're going to start breaking out the fall clothes, and probably the Halloween decorations, too. And to remind you, I have a couple of things coming up right now for Halloween. Okay, so see you next week. Please have a good one, and don't forget to take your daily laugh.
Yes, yes, Ms. Dim Glimmer, I'll put them in the mail today. Merry Christmas.
Did I hear you say Merry Christmas, Mutt? Well, we ain't even finished with Halloween.
Yeah, I know, but old Miss Dim Glimmer likes to get a good head up on her present buying.
Oh, what's she giving this year?
Oh, same old stuff, cold or hot, snow globes, a couple of sets of mismatched spangled spam can low-dangling earrings, a dachshund-shaped bread box for French loaves, oh, and a dozen or so pig-themed wind chimes. Oh,
yes, she do love the sounds of pigs tinkling in the wind, don't she?
Oh, you guys!
Oh, hey, boys.
Oh, come on, fellas.
Give us our scary party goodies.
Yeah, for the haunted church satanic sacrifice and potluck.
You got that right, but yeah. I'm coming to get you. Oh, yeah.
Hey, don't he look just like a clueless Cluck Clanner in that sheet?
Well, he would if he just cut some eye holes in the thing.
If you broke it, you bought it.
Oh, no such luck, Mutt. He just knocked over a stack of war surplus crash boxes.
Come on, boys. Help me up, and we'll get down to business.
Here you go.
Now, Mutt, we need 10 gross each of boot paste, ugly wugglies, finger traps, and gliding eyeballs.
Okay, I'll get them.
And while you're up on the ladder, Smut, pull down some moaning prickle balls, whodunit puzzles, and bloody squirt fish.
Oh, the kids loved those last year.
Yeah, they're behind the prehistoric pail packs of rainbow coils and doodlers there, Smut.
Well, don't I know
well,
that?
Well, I'm just trying
to
help.
Well, then we want 100 gory goodie bags filled with crippled flip frogs, devaluated dollar balls, and radium glow yos.
Well, I got those right here. Oh, this is going to be some horrific party, boys.
And don't forget the neon knockers in slime, the wiki wacky sticker faces, some small stretch men, and those go-go rings.
And 12 packs of serial killer candy cards and finger guillotines for door prizes.
We'll be back in a half hour to pick everything up, okay?
Because right now we got to go toilet paper some trees and tip over some outhouses.
See you at the service,
fellas. So long, you troublemakers. Don't you just love a sacrifice, Sam?
Yeah, we're going to make us a devil of a prophet.
I hope Granny is home. I didn't forget. Tonight is Friday night. This Friday is Granny's birthday. I have a beautiful Japanese fan I bought for her. Being I'm Japanese, I know the right one to buy for her. I remember after I met and got acquainted with Granny, one day I was in the street when...
Mr. Yarlito! Mr. Yarlito!
Oh, hello, Granny. What are you doing here?
I was just walking down the street, Mr. Yarlito. I hate to ask you this, but Granny needs a new dress and also a new pair of shoes. Could you buy it for Granny?
I certainly will, Granny. I'm Japanese. We were taught to help people. You buy what you want, and I'll pay for it. Well, she did. I spent over $200 on her. I bought her a new dress, shoes. I even end up buying her a new coat. Then one day, when I was in the marketplace... Oh, hello, Granny. Are you shopping here? Yes, I will, Granny. We Japanese people like to help people. I'll buy you groceries. I'll pay your bill. Well, I did. Granny bought enough food for over 2 weeks. I spent almost $100 on her. Then last Friday, I saw Granny again. She told me this Friday night was her birthday, and she wanted me to buy her a birthday present. So I... Thank you, Granny. Happy birthday, Granny.
Thank you, Mr. Shilita. Have I got a surprise for you? You don't have to sing the birthday song for Granny. I'll sing it to myself. You see, Mr. Shilita, I used to sing as a girl, and I want you to hear how beautiful my voice is. Happy birthday to you.
Wonderful, Granny. Oh, wonderful. I'm Japanese, and I can tell you now, there's nobody in all Japan who can sing like you can. And believe me, you can believe it.
Oh, thank you, dearie.
Now, Granny, I'm keeping my promise to you. Today is your birthday. And being I'm Japanese, Look at what I bought you for your birthday. Here is a beautiful Japanese fan.
Mr. Shilita, what could be going on in that Japanese mind of yours? I didn't want you to buy me a Japanese fan for my birthday, Mr. Shilita. I wanted you to buy me a Rolls Royce.
Ha ha ha.
You have been listening to Mr. Shileter, written for radio by Judson Fountain. I, Sandra Weisberger, played Mr. Shileter, and Granny was played by Judson Fountain.